40%. I can't believe it. 40% of families in America are blended families. One third of all weddings now are in blending families. I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living. We talked about blended and shared with blended and heard from blended families last week and had so much response we want to carry over today with those that we had a chance to talk to. If you want to share your perspective, your lesson, thing you've learned, we'd love to have you do that as well. You can call 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717 is the number to our comment line. Today, I'm Dr. Randy, along with Jennifer and Stephen and the rest of our Intentional Living team. Our phone operators, by the way, are upstairs. They're working hard, but they stop whenever the phone rings and they get a chance to talk to you. So if you want to call and join in support, say, hey, how can I be a part of this family here at Intentional Living and Intentional Life Media, you can call 888-888-1717 and press number 2 and talk to the team. Fair enough. All right, Jim, you are first in Kansas today. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Dr. Randy?
I'm doing well. Thank you for your call. What have you learned about blended families?
Well, Cheryl and I have been married for 43 years. It's both of our second marriages. I had no children at my first one, but I had one little boy we used to call my stepson. And we worked hard to get it to drop that step and just became everything that he needed for a dad. I had no idea how to raise a kid, but I saw the potential in this one. And when Cheryl and I fell in love, it was pretty easy just to put him into the fold and put him in the wedding and everything. The point that I want to make, though, is there are some ex-husbands that do not like for another man to come in and try to be, you know, a caregiver, a dad to these guys. And I tell you what, it was pretty scary there for a little bit. There were some weapons involved and threats and phone calls and all this kind of stuff. And I was a brand new Christian when all this was going on. And I thought, okay, well, normally I would go ahead and just join in the fray and just have some fun, you know, and get in some trouble and whatever it is, you know, I'm protecting my family. But God kind of put his hand on my head and he said, I want you to take the other road. And, so after a couple of pretty intense meetings, the fellow just, it looked like he just turned to butter. And because I told him, I said, look, that is a fine boy over there. He's 5 years old and you produced a fine boy. And because the marriage failed, I want to be able to step in and team up with you and raise the best guy that we can raise. I said, keep the violence out of it, keep the nasty talk out of it, and let's just raise this boy the way he's supposed to be raised. And again, he turned to butter, and it became, Brian became one of the finest human beings that I've ever met. I love him to death and I always will. I think the lesson would be to stay humble, but stay firm. Be still and know that God is God and he's going to take care of business. And, it's just, I didn't want to feed the anger. I didn't want to feed the violence. So I fed the Holy Spirit through the guy, and he just went on with his life. He didn't have anything to do with Brian.
Interesting. Once you acknowledged his role, you respected him for who he was, and you stayed. How old is your son now?
45.
You have a good relationship.
Oh, my. He's 49. Oh, my word.
That makes you that makes you 5 years older than you thought you were.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, Jim. You know, we talk about what masculinity is. I think Jim's an example of that, a guy who just says, hey, I'm stepping into this blended family. I don't know everything, never raised a kid before. I want to support my wife and this man who was the father, and you brought the wall down. It's interesting. It's interesting that once he acknowledged, you acknowledged that, hey, I understand our roles, he kind of disappeared. That's interesting, isn't it? It must have been a level of trust that he had, too, as well as saying, hey, this guy's going to do a good job, even though there's no excuse for backing out of your role with your kids. But he must have seen something there, which is positive. All right. Very good. Great way to start the show, Jim. I'll tell you what, we got some more calls. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back. We're talking about blended families, hearing the stories. Love to hear yours on our storyline at 888-888-1717.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
There's only three responses to the various types of pain that we can experience in life. You describe it, whatever that pain is, there's really three responses. Number one is to do anything possible to make the pain go away. Just make it go away. This path has led many into substance abuse, seeking forms of escape through entertainment, multiple unhealthy relationships, overeating, trying to run away from the reality of life. Instead of freedom from pain, this path tends to make the pain stronger and all that more encompassing. Because now, instead of dealing with the real issues causing the original pain, we've now got a new problem to deal with. I call it the crazy cycle of pain. We go from pain to pain reduction to a crash. Increased pain, more pain reduction, bigger crashes, and so on over and over and over.
That's an excerpt from the teaching this month that's on the topic of the purpose of pain. I address the problem, obviously, but I give 10 specific things you can do to help you in your life to deal with pain in your life. A very practical teaching, rich with content, and helpful to those who are struggling with any form of pain, relational or otherwise. It's up there for our members. You can check it out. If you're not a member, come and join us. Your monthly support is allowing us to do this every day, and I thank you for it. Just call 888-888-1717 during West Coast business hours or go to theintentionallife.com. Quick follow-up with Jim's call. He talked about this guy, the ex-husband, who was ready to rock and roll with him physically, violence even, harshness as he stepped into the scene. And he said, before I became a Christian, I would have done that. I would have rock and rolled with him. But he said, I chose not to do that. I followed what God told me and sit down with him and communicate with him and listen to him and respect him and come to terms how we can do this together. And during the break there, I thought of that Proverb 15:1, that says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word will stir up anger. And listen, that is a lot of wisdom from a long time ago that's true through every generation. The words that we speak, how we speak them, speak those words, and who we speak them to makes a huge difference. It really does. All right, let's continue on here. I think we're going to Lalinda is on the line in Kansas. Lalinda, go right ahead.
I wanted to share that people should remember that children want to defend someone they love, and the child should never have to defend a parent. So don't talk bad about the other parent that's not there anymore.
So you're talking about maybe their parent that's you're divorced and apart, is that what you're talking about? Yeah.
Yes. If you have to talk about them, only share the good things about them.
Mm-hmm.
I'll hear you talk good about them, no matter what the other parent says about you.
Yeah, are you in a blended family now?
I have a 22-year-old adult son.
Was that an issue?
It was. My current husband and I have been together since my son was one.
Hmm.
And so he grew up with his father always talking bad about us.
Yeah.
But we determined that we were never going to do that.
And what did your son, I've always been interested. Did your son grow up and figure that out for himself?
He did. For a long time, his father did not talk nice about us. And it caused a lot of issues and a lot of anxiety with our son.
Yeah.
But we determined we were never going to talk bad about his father, no matter what was happening between us, because my relationship with his father will always be different than the relationship our son was with his father.
Yeah.
And I will not be the one to deteriorate that relationship.
Did you feel like you at times needed to defend yourself, though, in terms of things that might be communicated to your son?
Yes, but as my son got older, he learned it's what you do, not what you say. And he sees it full view for himself. I don't have to point things out. He sees how I act and what I say and how his father acts and what he says.
Yeah. So what you're saying is over time, in your case at least, your son saw the truth for himself, sorted it out. And it wasn't something you had to teach him or preach or defend yourself.
Yes, I personally feel it was better that way. He didn't have to defend his father, and I wasn't attacking his father, but he can see where his father is lacking.
Yeah.
Kids are smart. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
they know these things.
Yeah. And, you know, I ask because I think as we look at the disagreements that can happen with blended families and ex-spouses, it would be easy to try to jump in and always defend yourself. Not that you shouldn't speak up and clarify issues and with your kids, but you can go to war with an ex-spouse, and I can tell you, you're going to lose. You're going to lose long-term. And taking the attitude of humility and honesty and just being open and honest with your kids, you don't know how they're going to respond necessarily, but you know in your own heart you've done the right thing. You know, there are three things that I really want to communicate to those of you who are in blended, any family, but blended families for sure. There are three foundational legs to the stool of any intentional high-stake relationship. If these three legs are in place, you're about 95% guaranteed to be successful in that relationship. If you have any one of those missing, any one of these, it's going to be teeter-totter at best, okay? You're going to be balancing act, and maybe that's what you're feeling. The number one leg is love. You know, we learn in John chapter 13, Jesus said, I give you a new commandment that you love one another. And love is not only a feeling, it's an action. I say that love is like a glue that holds the high-stake relationship together. Some of you feel like you're roommates in your marriage or prison mates in your marriage and your family when we need to be soulmates. Love is a solid commitment. Love and commitment together is foundational. It has to be one of the legs in a blended family. If you don't have love and you don't have commitment, you don't have a lot. You got to have that. Number two is respect. You know, 1 Peter chapter 2 says that we are to show proper respect to everyone, even to the people who are a pain in the neck, a blended child or an ex-spouse or whatever. But we're commanded. It's not a suggestion. Peter tells us that we are to show proper respect to everyone. Because without respect, what happens is there's going to be a contentious attitude in the relationship. So when we have respect and encouragement, this is an important leg for a blended family. Respect and encouragement is like refreshing water to a high-stake relationship. And we need that. Respect and encouragement is like a long, cool drink of water on a cold or hot summer day in Arizona. And we had that this year, right? And having that water of refreshment from respect and encouragement is an important leg. And here's the problem. Many times in a blended family, you do love each other and you even respect each other. But this third leg is missing. This is the thing where intentional living shows up on the scene. And it's the leg of agreement and action. How can two walk together, it says in Scripture, unless they be on the same page. Amos 3:3. Agreement, as I was thinking of this analogy, you know, we're talking like glue and water. I think agreement is like the oil that keeps the cogs of the machinery of a family going. And if you don't put the oil in there, you get a noisy bearing. You get a stuckness in the cogs of that wheel. And if you want to have, and I do, want to have joy and unity and peace and intimacy in a high-stake relationship, i.e. today, speaking of a blended family, you need the oil of agreement and action, daily action, following through, getting on the same page. What does that mean? Come to an agreement on how you're going to raise the kids. Come to an agreement on how you're going to deal with ex-spouses and finances and in-laws. Sit down, agree to disagree, but work it through. Because these hidden things that you don't discuss will become sort of like the sand that gets in the cogs of the wheel, you know, of the machinery of your blended family. And at best, it's going to be painful, squealy, hurt, and a lot of lack of peace and intimacy. Those are three important legs. Without agreement, your high-stake blended family relationship will be almost impossible. If you want to have a healthy blended family, you need these. You need love and commitment, respect and encouragement, and agreement and daily action. That's where intentional living plugs in, especially on that third point. We want to help you. That's why we're here, to turn the hurts that you may be experiencing, the difficulties, the problems, into healing and health. And that's why we do what we do. Let's take a break. I'll be right back.
Something that everyone will experience in life is pain. In Dr. Randy's message, The Purpose of Pain, you'll learn even though pain is a problem, when you understand its purpose in your life, you can actually gain freedom.
Pain is a troubling problem for humanity, and yet, without pain, we'd have no grasp of the contrast with health, or peace, or success, or meaning. For it's in the pain that we're able to see how dependent we are on God and what His blessings are all about in our life.
With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group with unlimited access to this message, along with more of Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Give now and receive these life-changing resources. Call 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
And, you know, thank you, Kurt. Many of you are doing that, and I just want to say thank you for supporting the ministry. You can call during West Coast business hours here at 888-888-1717. Press number 2 takes you upstairs to our team, or anytime online to theintentionallife.com. You're making a difference. We're seeing people come to Christ, homes be strengthened, people making a decision to be intentional in following Christ. Thank you for helping make that possible.
In a blending family, I believe it's very important for the husband and wife to be unified and be on the same page as far as discipline and how the children are raised, and not to let the children come between, drive a wedge between mom and dad. They do that naturally anyway, but it seems like in the blending family, it's even more pronounced. And so my advice would be that the husband and wife make sure that the children understand that mom and dad are unified and they're not going to be allowed to be the wedge to pull them apart. That seems to happen a lot, at least it did in our situation. Thank you. Have a great day. Goodbye.
Thank you, Michael. I think a lot of what we're hearing today are really people sharing out of their own pain. You know, we're talking about agreement as that third leg. And I think, Josh, you want to kind of emphasize that point. So share with us, what have you learned about blending families?
You know, what I've learned is we had a lot of hurt and struggle with co-parenting. And it took me a long time to realize that even though there's a lot of hurt there, we're both doing the best we can, have the best intentions for the children. So it takes a lot of compromise for us to agree on things, but, you know, it came down to me changing my perspective and to lead with love, to realize that we're both coming from the same place.
Yeah, and sometimes that's not easy to do.
No, definitely not.
How long you been married?
I've currently been married 3 years.
3 years. Yeah, I think because what happens is we judge our own selves by our intentions, and then we judge other people by what we view as their behavior. And if we flip that and say, hey, I'm really judging another person, I believe they're coming at this with their best intentions, that really does change your heart and your attitude toward dealing with a person.
Absolutely. For sure. I 100% agree with that.
All right. Well, good for you. How many kids do you have, Josh?
4 children.
What is your greatest challenge blending?
My greatest challenge blending definitely is the co-parenting, just because, like I said, you know, with the divorce, unfortunately, there was a lot of hurt and hurt feelings about it, so it took a long time for communication to open up.
All right, so it is that, right back to that co-parenting, and you're deciding to look at it as best intentions as opposed to worst intentions.
Exactly. Benefit of the doubt always, and just to lead with love and know that we're all coming from the best place, and that's the best intentions for the children.
Yeah, and I think, Josh, what we're hearing today is just a lot of humility in terms of, you know, this is a tough job and we're going to work on this. But, you know, there's also the importance sometimes, and listen, I understand this, you got to get some boundaries in place. And I think Kathleen there in Georgia, I think that's sort of what your story is all about. What is it? Go right ahead.
I was a stepmother of, and my husband is kind of soft-spoken. And I myself more of the enforcer, but I had to go to his child and tell him that we have standards in our home, we have rules in our home and boundaries, and due to the lifestyle that he was living, we had to go to him, and I just had to show my heart in a direction that's going to be so detrimental to his future. Mm-hmm. And even though we shared that, I mean, I was just on my knees squalling trying to talk to him. And he wound up having to move out. My husband was very upset, but he packed everything in a truck and moved him out because he continued to do what he was doing. And it just absolutely broke our heart. But it wound up turning him very shortly after that. He turned 21 and had a very, very bad experience with the lifestyle. And whenever that happened, he wound up, you know, receiving Christ as his Savior, and he is trying to live his life so wholeheartedly for the Lord, and I am so, so very proud of him.
That's great. You know, listen, I know that can be tough, especially if you're a softie when it comes to setting boundaries. But listen, when you set the boundaries, make sure it's not just you, because you're the enforcer, like she said, but that you're doing this together, you're working together to be able to set boundaries that are going to be healthy for your children, for your family. I think the things that we've heard today, I think we have time for one more call. We're going to get to Tammy here in a moment. I think what I've heard today is this. We need to enter into a blended family with a lot of humility and our eyes wide open. It says in Philippians chapter 2 that we're not to do anything out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests. Boy, that's hard. Not looking to your own interests, but also the interests of others. You know, to your spouse, to those kids, that you can leave a legacy. And I think ultimately that should be the goal, shouldn't it? All right. I think we have time for one more, don't we? All right. Let's go to Tammy in Arizona. Tammy, appreciate your call. Tell us, how many kids do you have?
I have 7 kids. 3 mine, 4 his, but 7 are all of ours.
That's a lot. Man, you certainly have learned some things. What's one thing you've learned?
Not to get offended. Not to get offended easily. There's a lot of broken hearts and hurt people in these blended families. And if you get offended so easily, I mean, it just keeps the pain going. And if you give the mercy and grace and love that God gives us all, then you can get through anything. And a lot of people, you know, they see it through worldly eyes and they're like, you know, I can't believe, you know, you allow these people to talk this way or act this way. And I tell them, look, they're in a hurting place. I'm not looking at the person. God says it's not, I mean, tells us not to look at the flesh. We're not fighting against the flesh.
That's right.
And so I'm not looking at the flesh that is attacking me. I'm looking at a hurting person that needs grace and mercy. And if they walk away because they're broken and they're hurt and they don't feel like they're being loved, when they come back, they got open arms. It's not judgment. And that's the biggest thing I've seen. I've seen my kids, adult kids, come back, and they're like, you're still here. I said, of course, I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. And a lot of it is they're looking to see if you're going to leave them.
Yeah.
You know, their other parent has left them. Some of them have left. Some are still there. But in my family, they've left. They're gone. And they're looking to see if this adult is going to walk out of their life as well. And it's like, no, I'm not. You know, I love you. So
it's good for you. Well, listen, you talk about ministry. That's huge. Let me ask you, did you have any one surprise after you got married for a while that you didn't really anticipate?
No.
You were ready.
I went with eyes wide open, and the attacks that I got, well, I take that back. The attacks I got from the kids, I was not surprised. The attacks I got from the in-laws was a very big surprise to me.
Oh, from your new in-laws or your
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
New in-laws. I mean, it was very destructive to me personally, and I literally had to just give it all to God because it made me so angry and hurt that I couldn't even handle being around anybody. I mean, even my husband, I was angry at him and just kept saying, what can I do?
Yeah.
He couldn't do anything. I mean, other than you don't go to your parents and talk bad against your spouse. That's one of the things I can say. But other than that, you got to give that to God and let Him deal with it, and just love Him. And your kids, your stepkids, your in-laws, they're going to bring pain that, you know, they have inside themselves, and you just got to love them and say, you know, mercy and grace. We're all hurting.
Yeah, and that's.
And I'm sorry you're in that place, but I'm going to be here. And you know, even if you're angry at me, I'm still going to be here.
Well, that's great. Tammy, you put the cap on it today with that wisdom, that humility, that awareness. Come on, folks. This is tough business. You know that. Those of you in blended families, I believe with everything in me, you are not going to be successful at this unless you choose to be intentional at this. And the ingredients are going to be love and commitment, respect and encouragement, and agreement and daily action. Here's the question you're asking. I want to do that. But the rest doesn't. And that takes a big responsibility on your part to say, hey, I choose to be intentional, even though the others don't, to do the next right one thing. It takes a lot of study, a lot of preparation, a lot of humility. That's why we're here. We love you and we want the best for you. All right, we got to run. Love your feedback. Share with us. I'm Dr. Randy. And for the entire team, this is Intentional Living, coming to you from our studios here at the Intentional Life Media.